What went in might come out.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The last couple of weeks, we've been telling you how investors have been yanking money out of emerging markets like Russia and Brazil. One of the main reasons is that they've put so much money in, maybe too much too fast. A World Bank report out today says last year, developing countries were swamped with a record $491 billion in investment. Marketplace's Amy Scott has more.
Robust economic growth, higher commodity prices, and relatively low interest rates boosted investment in emerging markets, the report says. The World Bank's Mansour Delami says a little housekeeping also paid off.
Developing countries have taken major steps improving the domestic policy environment, and international investors obviously have responded.
And not just investors from wealthy nations.
Developing countries themselves are becoming an important source of financing to other developing countries. And this is quite a new trend.
But overall, the bulk of investment went to just a handful of countries, like China, Mexico, and Russia. The report says more impoverished countries still have little or no access to private foreign investment. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
When companies go public, it usually makes the news. So I guess going private is worth a mention as well. Kinder Morgan is a public firm that moves oil and gas through 43,000 miles of pipelines. The two founders of the company, Richard Kinder and Bill Morgan, obviously have a lot of money. And they, along with some investors, want to buy the company out. The total value of the deal, about $22 billion. Folks in Congress are off this week, no doubt visiting the family and the constituents. I'm sure they're going to get an earful about immigration while they're back home. The House and Senate are trying to reconcile two bills that are radically different, and they'll be hearing from a group of powerful bedfellows lobbying for the guest worker program. Here's John Dimsdale.
The National Immigration Forum includes restaurant owners and unionized hotel workers. Other allies, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the left-leaning Center for American Progress, and the free market think tank Manhattan Institute. All these groups favor immigration reforms closer to the Senate version, which offers the prospect of citizenship for undocumented immigrants who've been in the U.S. more than 5 years. The House bill has no guest worker program and makes illegal immigration a felony. The Immigration Forum's Frank Sherry thinks the momentum is turning in the Senate's favor.
It is possible to imagine a bipartisan majority in the House of Representatives supporting a comprehensive bill that is in line with the Senate bill.
But House Republican leaders promised to defeat any proposal that includes amnesty for immigrants who've crossed the border illegally. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Americans who live abroad better get ready to send more money back to Uncle Sam. The tax cut law signed last week actually contains substantial tax increases for American expats, and the increase will be retroactive starting at the beginning of this year. It's back to work on Wall Street later this morning. So far in trading today, oil prices are above $71 a barrel in Asia, and the price of gold opened higher in London, $653. This is Marketplace. Right now, you can't check email or get on the web at 35,000 feet, on a commercial flight anyway, but the FCC is auctioning off the radio spectrum that will make that happen. Jane Lindholm reports.
The frequency is expected to go to AC Bidco. It's a merger of telecom provider Aircell and a New York-based holding company. Aircell already beams in broadband for private airplanes. Glenn Fleischman is the editor of Wi-Fi Networking News. He says Aircell should have an easy transition to the commercial side of things.
They've got the technology, the expertise, the operating background.
It will be 2 years before the company can implement its plans for commercial airlines, but Fleischman says the result could be a lot more airplane chatter.
Not only will more people be talking using cell phones and laptops using voice over IP, but more people will be using airphone handsets because the service will probably become reasonably affordable.
So you might want to think about investing in a serious pair of earplugs. I'm Jane Lindholm for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. By Thrivent Builds with Habitat for Humanity, building 310 decent homes this year in partnership with families facing critical housing needs. ThriventBuilds.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation. helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. On one hand, it's good for the global economy for countries like Vietnam to succeed. On the other hand, it's a threat to the U.S. economy. Or is it? Southeast Asia is close to signing a trade pact with the U.S. The treaty is supposed to help Vietnam along and make it eligible to join the World Trade Organization. Commentator David Frum says the U.S. should embrace, not fear, the Vietnams of the world.
Products from Vietnam should be showing up at your local Walmart soon. That's good news for that country's hard-pressed people. More trade means lower unemployment, higher incomes, and we can hope, ultimately greater political and religious freedom. But for Americans working in manufacturing, Vietnam adds 85 million people to their list of potential competitors. And for Americans working in journalism, that has triggered another round of complaints and hand-wringing about globalization and trade deficits. As we all know, America buys more manufactured goods abroad than it sells. In fact, the nation's trade deficit in manufacturers exceeds $600 billion, very nearly as much as the entire economy of Australia. Now, there's a view out there that this amounts to an economic catastrophe. Many people believe that manufacturing is the basis of national wealth. A great nation, the theory continues, cannot survive on the basis of financing, insurance, marketing, and services. As a matter of fact, the United States does continue to make things. Indeed, manufacturing share of the U.S. economy has declined by at most a couple of percentage points from the middle 1950s. But it's equally true that this has become a very tough planet for manufacturers. One example, the glamorous iPod Nano, Apple's gleaming new high-tech toy. It contains about $90 worth of parts and costs about $8 to assemble. The parts are manufactured and the assembly done in the Far East by manufacturers who earn pennies on the dollar and face ever-declining prices. Apple then retails the Nano for $200 and earns $100 from its design, marketing, and retail savvy. Which business would you rather be in? Put it another way. The U.S. economy grew at a 5.3% annualized pace in the second quarter of the year, faster than any other major industrial economy and five times as fast as the most manufacturing-intensive advanced economy, Italy. And while the value of the dollar fluctuates in trading and will sometimes go down as well as up, this idea you hear that foreigners will dump dollars the way they once dumped the Thai baht is a masochistic fantasy. How much of your wealth would you like to store in Chinese currency its rulers manipulate, or in a euro that Italy may quit at any minute? The U.S. economy has problems, real problems, high and growing medical costs, a perverse tort system, shaky education. That's a long enough list for any policymaker, without tormenting ourselves with false fears.
David Frum is a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. Send us your thoughts. Log on to marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The biggest problem.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.